FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and perhaps even watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and well, we still don't know who the president-elect is. We know who the projected president-elect is, according to Facebook, but we don't really know the president-elect. Nothing's been certified. Everything's in litigation. Everything is there's a term for this in the Army, which I can't really repeat. It's an acronym. It's a snafu. Situation normal, all blanked up. Well, now we have the vaccine dilemma coming up. We'd like to know your opinion. Are you going to get the vaccine? And who do you think won the election? Just send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. John, so vaccine dilemma, what are we going to do?
Hey, Kerry. Well, you know, the stock market thinks everything's been solved here. stocks are just rocking because we got a couple of vaccines that in, not really extensive studies yet, but still in the studies that have been done look effective. The problem is, so this creates a dilemma for the financial markets, because let's take the best case scenario and say that within a year, everybody's gotten their shots and the virus is gone. And we're back to normal, which is to say, you know, pretty decent growth, people going back to work and everything. Well, that means that there's no need for more stimulus or for lower interest rates. But the financial markets are addicted to ever lower interest rates and ever greater amounts of stimulus. So you got stocks basically priced for better than perfection. You know, the U.S. stock market is now more richly valued by some measures than ever in history, including the dot-com bubble, including the housing bubble, which means that everything has to be perfect. And the stock market defines perfection as interest rates going down and new currency creation rising continuously. That is to say, quantitative easing to the horizon, multi-trillion dollar budget deficits to the horizon. And in a normally functioning economy where unemployment is low and most businesses are making money and stuff like that, you know, in a good economy, which is what the stock market seems to be projecting out there by going up right now, you don't get the kinds of stimulus that are required to keep stocks going up. So we're basically back in that game where the government tries to slow down its easing or even tighten a little bit. The stock market collapses. That freaks out the Federal Reserve and the federal government, and they go back to easing. So we're in the in-between part of that, where we haven't started tightening yet, but we will probably have to if the vaccine thing works and the economy is strong, et cetera, et cetera. And then the stock market is going to tank again. So real investment advice, Lance Roberts posted a thing this morning that I think the headline was, "Why Investors Are Walking Into a Trap." And that's what the trap is that stocks being priced for perfection are not going to get perfection in the form of never-ending QE if the economy is okay, and they're going to tank. You know, so if you're buying tech stocks now in anticipation of a stronger economy making them go up, you're going to be disappointed because a stronger economy will actually make them go down. So that's our dilemma.
Oh, that's pretty messy. Well, we've got, I don't know about you, I'm a little wary of these vaccines. Now, first, Pfizer comes out, they say ours is 90% effective. And then another one comes out and says, we're 92% effective. And then Moderna comes out, we're 94.5% effective. And it sounds like you got your choice. It's like trying to figure out what toothpaste to buy in the supermarket. You know, well, 9 out of 10 dentists recommend this one, but this one, you know, oral surgeons think is the best. So you going to get a vaccine, John?
Not if I can help it, Kerry. but I think that you can make the case that because there are treatments like vitamin D and zinc and hydroxychloroquine that are out there and cheap, and that, you know, between them lower the risk to the vanishing point for you dying of COVID-19. But they were never pushed by the world's governments, you know, because all we could have, all we really had to do in retrospect at the beginning was literally just give everybody a bunch of vitamin D and zinc and a few other things. And the incidence, and we now know that the death rate for this virus would have gone down to close to zero for anybody who wasn't at extreme risk for other things already. You know, if you were already sick, not much we can do for you. But for any reasonably healthy person, these basic things protect you. But we didn't do any of that. You know, we didn't, the governments of the world didn't even mention that stuff really until the big vaccine companies were able to do their testing and bring out their multi-billion dollar vaccines. So this looks an awful lot like a scam on the part of big pharma and governments working together to funnel, you know, $500 billion or so into the pockets of big pharma executives. And you know, scary thought, but not really out of character for the world as it is right now. Because really, you know, we don't actually need vaccines based on the simple, cheap, readily available treatments that turn out to be available already.
If it was a vaccine for the common cold or a vaccine that eliminated all flu, I'd probably be more apt to take it. But for this, like you said, fact is vitamin D, which I've been taking for 8 years, zinc, which I started taking right at the beginning of the pandemic, and HCQ, which I've taken shortly thereafter. But the fact is that zinc, there was one study, 76 people. That's the thing. They haven't funded any expensive studies. But for vitamin D, 76 people, the control group didn't take it, low vitamin D, and 13 of the 26 wound up in the hospital, and I think three of them died. The group of 50 all had adequate levels of vitamin D, and it's hard to do that when you're in North America because we just don't get enough sun. But those people, out of the 50, one of them wound up in the hospital, was subsequently released. The other 49, no problems, no deaths, and the same thing with zinc. Zinc, not as dramatic, but zinc also in small studies apparently seemed to be effective to the point where the English government is sending out free vitamin D to people who are lock-ins, you know, shut-ins, who can't get out of their homes. They're sending out vitamin D. And you know how much a thing, a 1 year supply of vitamin D cost me on Amazon, John?
Not much. Vitamin D is cheap. Yeah.
$7.99, I want to say. And this is like really the best of the best of all the vitamin D's that they sell on Amazon. And zinc was another like $10 for a 2 or 3 month supply. And you should be taking them anyway. It's not like COVID is the only reason to take them. They're immune immunomodulators. And they've been proven effective against a whole plethora of maladies. But in the meantime, Michigan, New Jersey, Washington State all announced new lockdowns. And Germany, the most severe one of all, 4 to 5 months of severe lockdowns.
Well, okay, two things. One is low levels of vitamin D, that's actually a pre-existing condition for all kinds of other stuff. You know, that's something that makes you susceptible to pretty much, you know, name the disease, and you're more likely to get it and die from it if you have low vitamin D. So yeah, that would be one of the things that, you know, if we had our act together health-wise, governments would be looking at stuff like this and going, all right, you know, if we have to be authoritarian, then we're just going to force you to take vitamin D. You know, that would be, if they need to be authoritarian when it comes to healthcare, if they absolutely have to do that, they should be making us take this cheap stuff that actually works instead of, you know, expensive pharmaceuticals that actually don't work in a lot of cases. So anyhow, and the other thing is, everybody at the beginning of this pandemic had an opinion about how you stop it. The opinions differed out there, but everybody had an opinion. And it turns out nobody knew what they were talking about, really. Because, well, Well, you know, Germany was like the shining example of how to do it right, because everybody obeyed the rules and they all did a quick lockdown and their caseload plunged in the summer. Well, it turns out that was a summertime thing, right? You know, the weather got warmer and the virus went away. And now they're back to, you know, the virus. Well, at least a lot of cases. And see, that's a separate thing, whether it matters how many cases there are out there. It's really how many people are dying from it. And that hasn't started to spike yet, really. But anyhow, Germany is spooked by what's happening. And they're going back on lockdown, which means what they did before did not work. Even Germany couldn't get this right. So, you know, and even Sweden is starting to have an uptick in cases. Again, just cases. But so, you know, nobody really seems to have done it right. Although I'm holding out hope that Sweden was the one that they got it most right. Because they were the least authoritarian, you know, their people just got to get on with life and exercise common sense. And they had the best results for a long time.
Yeah, well, I thought this thing would be over with, and maybe it would have. We hadn't locked down and done all this stuff because herd immunity. Sweden's cases have ticked up a bit, but most of Sweden's deaths that they had, even though they had a higher rate than many other countries, took place in nursing homes. Nursing homes seem to be like COVID magnets here. But I will admit to being wrong on a number of cases, but definitely never being wrong about vitamin D, we knew from the beginning, and zinc, because zinc works on so many different viruses. It's a major antiviral. And you combine low zinc levels, low vitamin D levels, like you said, pre-existing condition, and it opens you right up. And who gets the least sun of anybody you know? It's people in nursing homes and adult care facilities. We go back to the Spanish flu of 1917-18, and some genius doctor figured out that if you took the people out of, they had field hospitals set up all over the place. We didn't have the hospital infrastructure we have today in the United States and the world. They would take them out of the tent hospital and let them sit in the sunlight for 2 to 3 hours a day. And they found that the survival rate like doubled or tripled from people who were just in their darkened hospital accommodation, just waiting to die. So we know a lot, but we forget a lot over time. Unfortunately, well, you are billing 2021, John, as the year of mass bailouts or mass bankruptcies. And what do you think it's going to be?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Silver One Resources is an exploration and development company backed by strategic investors Eric Sprott and SSR Mining. At Silver One's Candelaria Mine project in Nevada, there is already a historic resource estimated at 127 million ounces of silver, which Silver One is developing and advancing. The company's Phoenix Silver Project, located within the Arizona Silver Belt, is an early-stage exploration project on which native silver vein fragments have been discovered near surface. One grab sample assay an astounding 14,688 ounces per ton. Yes, that's right, ounces, not grams. Silver One has tremendous exploration potential, is extremely leveraged to the price of silver, and is cashed up and poised to increase shareholder value. Silver One trades in New York under the ticker SLVRF and in Toronto under the ticker SVE. To learn more, go to silverone.com. That's silverone.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, you know, the vaccine thing, to go back to, if it works, it, you know, if we were going to make everybody get vaccinated and it actually did work, it's still going to take like a year before normality returns, which means restaurants are still going bankrupt, hotels are still going bankrupt, the airlines are bleeding cash, and a lot of states and cities can't pay their bills. So we're in that situation no matter what. And that presents the government with a tough choice. Either they let all these guys go bankrupt out there with all the damage that does to the economy, or in the face of widespread belief that we're getting over this and by the end of the year we're going to be back to normal, they bail everybody in sight out now or in 2021 for another whatever $5 or $10 trillion of debt that they have to take on and of currency that they have to create, making our financial imbalances even worse. And so that's the choice that they're looking at right now. Do they just assume that things are going to get better and then let us take the pain in the short run until things are better? Or do they actively intervene to stop all the bankruptcies that are really in train right now? And, you know, it's a tough decision from the point of view of a government. From the point of view of libertarian economics, no, you let the market work itself out. But for guys who are in charge and who get blamed for the downside of whatever decision they make, this is a tough one because you don't know which is the decision that has the worst downside. You know, in the short run, definitely letting people go bankrupt has a bigger downside. But in the longer run, which, you know, let's say you've got a 4-year administration here and you don't want anything horrible to happen in 4 years. If you borrow another $10 trillion, you set the stage for a financial crisis in the following year or following years that is way bigger than the one that would have happened if you just let a bunch of entities go bankrupt right now. So it's a tough decision, but it's one that was always coming. Remember, Kerry, we've been talking about this for a decade now, where eventually there would be a crisis that was so big that the government ended up having to bail out everybody in sight, and that would shift the pressure over to the currencies of the world, and then we would finally have that big currency crisis. So the pandemic accelerated that process and made 2021 the year in which that decision has to be made. So, if we thought the last few years were interesting, what's coming is going to be way more interesting from the Chinese curse standpoint than what we just lived through.
There's another factor here, John, and that is that many of these bankruptcies, most, if not all, granted, some companies were circling the drain before COVID hit, but many of them are due to the government's reaction towards COVID and our so-called expert, like Dr. Fauci, all right, that it was better to close down and shut down than it was to protect the people who were most vulnerable from it. And John, let's not forget, the worst disease in the world isn't COVID or the plague or Ebola. The worst disease is poverty, because people who live in poverty don't go to the doctor. They don't take their proper medications. I'm talking real poverty. And when you put 200 to 300 million people around the world out of work, and you increase, just in the US alone, 8 million more people living in poverty, you create a cure that is far worse than the underlying disease here. So the government has an obligation, even though I am a libertarian and don't believe in bailout economics, but arguably the government screwed up. So now they have to fix what they did. And if that means bailing out, yeah, we're going to take a hit in the currency department for sure. And maybe it's going to trigger the Great Reset. And I don't know what to say, but I do know that, like the average the restaurant or the hotel in New York City, if the government hadn't screwed up the way that it had, that hotel wouldn't be looking for a bailout now. That restaurant wouldn't be closing its doors. So I don't like to paint people as victims, because you make decisions based on your knowledge of the circumstances and your beliefs. But this is a case of the government really causing this whole thing.
Yeah, I think when we add up all the deaths that flowed from the lockdown, the numbers are going to be comparable or greater than the deaths that actually happened because of the pandemic. You know, because like you said, poverty is deadly, and a lockdown where you're sticking people in enclosed spaces with each other. You know, we've gotten more spousal abuse, more child abuse, more suicide, more reported depression, and more lots of other things that than we would have had otherwise. And those things are all life-threatening.
Yeah, and people who didn't get their cancer treated because it wasn't deemed an essential procedure. This thing is just a cluster, you know what, of near biblical proportions. And this is a case of the government being there to help you. If they just hadn't told anybody and people just started dying, and we probably would be better off. Now, I'm not saying that the government should be hiding these things. Definitely not. But if they had told us, take vitamin D, take zinc, and maybe HCQ, but that is somewhat subject to controversy, but it appears in 100 plus studies that it is a valid treatment once you have COVID, if caught early enough. But this is really government at its worst. And then you mentioned the big question is, are the people in charge truly the morons they appear to be, or are they evil geniuses busy implementing their plan to for the Great Reset, or the AKA the enslavement of humanity?
That's kind of been the question all along, hasn't it? Because we're literally heading for a financial cliff that's going to lead to some horrible things happening and authoritarian things happening. And the people making the decisions that are taking us over that cliff at times look incredibly stupid, you know, look like they're just so clueless that, you can't even believe the stuff that's coming out of their mouths. And other times look like they're playing us, you know? And I've never been able to come up with an opinion on one side or the other, or even an opinion about which I would like to be true, because I'm not sure which is scarier. And, you know, the fact that we're heading off the cliff is undeniable, but what the people in charge do as we go off that cliff is unknowable right now, because it really depends on whether they just don't know we're going off the cliff, or if they're taking us to that cliff with a plan at the other side. So I don't know. Both are scary. I'm not sure which is scarier, but the cliff is the undeniable reality. You know, we are definitely headed for a crisis that is just, it's going to be unlike anything of our lifetimes for sure. And maybe anything, or unlike anything the human race has gone through, because we've never been a globally interconnected economy making these kinds of mistakes before. You know, in the past, many countries have destroyed their currencies by creating too much debt and then printing too much currency to cover those debts. And their currency plunges and they have a crisis, but life goes on because everybody else is on a sound money system. Well, nobody's on a sound money system anymore. We're all making the same mistakes at the same time. So yeah, you know, a global reset imposed by the guys from Davos or the IMF or whoever is completely believable in this circumstance, because the crisis when it comes is going to be so widespread that there are going to be calls for a commensurately widespread solution. And that certainly looks like the Great Reset plan that they've been sketching out for all these years. So, you know, it looks like they're getting what they want, whether they intended it to happen this way or not.
Okay, well, I call this what we're heading towards, the Thelma and Louise economy. Remember the last scene where they're in the car, the T-Bird, and they just willingly accelerate towards the end of the cliff. And I told you in the pre-call when my partner, who used to do bank workouts, and you'd have to go in, there was a bad loan, and you'd have to figure out how the bank could get as close to whole as possible. And he'd look over the file and he'd say to himself, I hope somebody got paid to make this loan, because I'd hate to think anyone working for the bank could be this stupid. That's the way I feel about our government. I would hate to think, I hope they got paid. I hope somebody's telling them what to do and they're just doing it, because I'd hate to think that we could elect anybody this stupid. But it certainly appears that we have.
Yeah, it does. And anyhow, the happy conclusion, the one happy conclusion from all of this is that there's almost no way gold and silver go down in these kinds of circumstances. You know, we could have a stock market crash sometime this year, which would pull down precious metals and mining stocks, but it would be sort of like the March of this year's market, where they go down briefly and then soar after that when the government responds with all the normal amount of QE that they're going to have to respond with. So I think that you can make money from this. You know, it's small consolation considering all the other stuff that's going to happen, but we can totally get rich, or richer in your case, by buying a lot of gold and silver right now and then just riding it through this process.
You owe it to yourself and your family to make the most of any circumstances that the government and that the economic system throws your way. And it could very well mean your survival or your lack of survival, which hence why I came up with the Financial Survival Network. But we're really coming down to it. Let's just briefly note the political situation, because after all, John, this is a family show, so we don't really like to deal in obscene subject matter. So suffice it to say, just like you said, the legitimacy of the system is now questioned, not just by half the country, but by everyone, right?
Yeah. Well, see, this was kind of the worst case scenario heading into this election, that we wouldn't be able to do it right. And the lawyers would be battling back and forth over which vote should be counted and which state went to which candidate. And however it shakes out, the losing side sincerely believes it was stolen from them. And we're very close to that right now, because, right now it looks like Biden is the higher probability next president. But that's not a done deal yet. You know, a lot of these states clearly had stuff going on, which is questionable, that really needs to be checked out. And Trump's lawyers are trying to make that happen. So can you imagine if they actually find some stuff and it overturns the states that Biden won right at the end of the day after the election, and Trump ends up being president again? Can you imagine what the Democrats would do? They will go insane if that happens. Conversely, if a lot of this stuff, which looks pretty sketchy, gets swept under the rug by legal decisions or state and local election officials basically just hiding it again, then the Republicans are going to feel that way. So we can't get through this now without one side or the other feeling cheated and feeling like our political system is illegitimate. And that's a terrible place to be, because that's the final step before civil war in a lot of cases. And we would be there. So, you got to hope that that's not the case, but it doesn't look like there's any way out of the losers in this election feeling like they've been cheated and no longer trusting the electoral system.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I was thinking, like, for school elections, they should just go out and buy the Dominion voting system for, like, past presidents and student council body, and then you can just pick who you want. No, but seriously, the only way Trump wins is incontrovertible evidence of widespread fraud, which we're getting anecdotal samples of, which, if it's true that Dominion is at the bottom of this whole thing, forget about all the traditional forms of voter fraud, which are as old as democracy. Dead people have been voting since there were dead people and since there was democracy. But usually, if it could be stolen at this level of what their allegations are in Dominion, it's going to be a heart punch to the country and to the world. Having the courts decide anything as a final decision is always really dangerous, whether it's abortion, gay marriage, drugs. Really, these things need to be determined by the legislature, because at least in theory, the legislature, state legislature, is closest to the people. They need to make these decisions, not some nine men and women in robes. That's dangerous, and nobody's happy. We're still arguing over abortion 30 years or 40 years after the Supreme Court's decision, whereas if the state legislatures, if we use the 10th Amendment, they would have decided. And in the states where gay marriage was decided by legislatures rather than by court decisions, this is much more accommodating, much more acceptance among the people. But anyway, that's for another day. Sorry we belabored that point, but we'd be remiss if we didn't at least refer to the election mess. But Thelma and Louise, we're all going to join you soon. And maybe it's time, John, to go shop for that nice 1964 convertible T-Bird, because I see they go off cliffs like no other car, John. And that is it for today. Make sure you send us your emails, kl@kerrylutz.com. And make sure you go sign up for John's newsletter over at dollarcollapse.com. Ours is at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And John, we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Gary. See ya.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.